As educators, we're constantly striving to improve, right?
Absolutely. Always looking for ways to be even better at what we do.
Yeah, but let's be honest, diving into educational research, it can feel
Intimidating.
that's one way to put it.
All that jargon
Yeah.
and complex methodology.
Exactly. It's like you need a decoder ring just to understand the basics.
Right. It can feel totally disconnected from what's actually happening in our classrooms.
So what if there was a way to make research more approachable?
More natural, more directly relevant to what we do every day.
Bingo. And that's where action research comes in.
Action research.
You know, like when you adjust a lesson plan on the fly based on how your students are responding, or you decide to try a new classroom management technique, see if it makes a difference.
Oh, I see. So many of us are already doing these little cycles of observation, reflection, and adjustment.
Without even realizing it's a formal process.
Exactly. We're kind of like natural-born researchers in a way.
I like that. At its heart, action research is about asking yourself questions about your own teaching.
Questions you actually want answers to, not just theoretical stuff.
Right, and then systematically experimenting, gathering evidence, and using that to refine your approach.
It's all about continuous improvement, driven by your own curiosity and a desire to help your students thrive.
Okay, so let's go back in time for a second. Where did this whole idea of action research come from?
Well, the term itself was coined way back in 1944 by a social psychologist named Kurt Lewin. He was really interested in using research to drive positive social change.
And he saw this cyclical process as key to making that happen.
Exactly. So, how does this action research cycle actually work? What are the steps involved?
Great question.
There are six key steps. The first one is identifying the problem and envisioning success.
Envisioning success. Sounds a bit, I don't know, touchy-feely.
I know, right? But hear me out. It's about painting a picture in your mind. Imagine you've implemented your action research plan. What does your classroom look like now? What's different?
Okay, I see what you mean. So you have this clear vision in your head of what success would look like, but how do we even pinpoint the problem we want to solve?
It starts with a question about your teaching practice. Something specific, not some grand theory. It should be grounded in your everyday experiences in the classroom.
So, like, how can I get my students to participate more in class discussions? Or what's the best way to give feedback that actually motivates my students?
Those are perfect examples. It needs to be something that really matters to you, something that sparks your curiosity. Because honestly, staying motivated throughout the process is super important.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got our burning question. We have a clear vision of what success would look like. What's next?
Step two is developing a plan of action. This is where you translate your vision into concrete steps.
So if my goal is to get my students more engaged during math lessons.
Right. What specific strategies can you try? You might think about incorporating more hands-on activities, using real-world examples.
Maybe experimenting with some collaborative learning strategies.
Exactly. This plan of action becomes your roadmap for the whole process.
Okay, roadmap acquired. I'm feeling motivated. Now it's time to collect some data. But I imagine this is where some teachers might start to feel a little intimidated, right?
Oh, for sure. That word research can be scary. But remember, action research is about using data in a really practical way to help you understand what's happening in your classroom and then make changes based on that.
So we're talking about observations, student work samples, maybe even reflective journaling.
Absolutely. Don't forget things like attendance records, grades,
Even quick surveys.
those too. It's about being intentional, choosing data that will actually help you answer your research question.
Got it. So let's say we've got all this amazing data. Now what?
Well, that brings us to step four, analyzing the data and drawing some conclusions. And this is where things get really interesting.
Oh, tell me more.
You don't wait until the very end to analyze your data. You do it as you go along.
So it's like checking your map regularly along a road trip.
Exactly. Making sure you're still heading in the right direction. It allows you to see if your plan is working. Maybe you hit some unexpected roadblocks, so you got to refine your approach.
I like that analogy.
Like, imagine our teacher who wants to improve math engagement. They're observing their students, looking at their work, maybe even having the students reflect on their learning experience. They're constantly searching for patterns, trends, trying to figure out what's working, what's not, and why.
Okay, so we're gathering our data, analyzing it as we go, hopefully having those aha moments along the way. What's next?
Step five is all about modifying your theory and repeating the cycle. Remember, action research, it's iterative. It's about being flexible and adapting as you go.
So you look at what you've learned, you tweak your understanding of the problem, and you refine your approach.
Exactly. It's about embracing the idea that teaching, it's an ongoing experiment.
We might need to adjust our initial plan, try new strategies, or maybe even decide to gather different types of data along the way.
It's all about having that growth mindset as a teacher, being a reflective practitioner who's always learning and evolving.
Okay, we've identified our problem, we've envisioned success, developed our plan, gathered data, analyzed it, and modified our approach. What's the final step?
The sixth and final step is reporting your results. Now, when I say reporting, I don't mean writing some massive dissertation or anything.
Ew, that's a relief.
It can be as simple as sharing your findings with your colleagues during a staff meeting.
Or maybe presenting at a professional development session.
That's a great idea. Or even just discussing what you've learned with your students.
I love that. It brings the whole process full circle.
And even though it's the last step, the benefits of sharing are huge. It helps you solidify your own understanding. It can spark new ideas and collaborations.
And inspire other teachers. I think we've covered a lot here. But before we wrap up, I want to address something that I know a lot of teachers feel when they hear the word research. They immediately picture these complicated statistics and formal procedures.
Right. It can feel really intimidating.
Absolutely. Especially for teachers who maybe aren't comfortable seeing themselves as researchers.
I hear that. It's important to remember that action research is different from traditional research. It's not about numbers for the sake of numbers.
It's about using practical data
to gain a deeper understanding of your students and your teaching. And then most importantly, making changes that directly benefit them.
So it's less about being a scientist in the lab coat and more about being a detective in the classroom, right?
Exactly. Following clues, gathering evidence, trying to uncover insights.
Insights that will help our students thrive.
You know, Dick Sagor, who's a real leader in this field of action research, he has a great quote about this. He says, "Inquiry is something we do naturally."
We're all naturally curious.
We all have this desire to understand and improve.
And action research simply gives us a framework for doing that in a way that's both systematic and incredibly impactful.
It's about honoring that inner researcher that I think we all have within us.
Absolutely. And I think when we embrace that identity, we unleash a powerful force, not just in our own classrooms, but in our schools.
Maybe even beyond.
Now, you mentioned Dick Sagor, and I'm really curious to hear more about his experiences with action research, especially how it impacted school culture. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. He has this amazing story about his time as a high school principal. When he first introduced action research to his staff, there was some hesitation.
I bet. It's a new idea.
Right. But as the teacher started engaging in the process, something really cool happened.
Oh, I'm on the edge of my seat.
The whole school culture began to shift. Teachers went from feeling like they were working in isolation to feeling like they were part of a team, a learning community.
That's amazing.
They were excited to share what they were learning, support each other, celebrate each other's successes.
So action research, it wasn't just about improving individual teaching practice. It was about transforming the whole school environment.
Exactly. It was about creating this culture of inquiry where everybody felt empowered.
Empowered to ask questions, try new things, learn from each other, and just constantly strive to improve.
You said it. And you know, it wasn't just about data and analysis either. It was about creating a space where curiosity and collaboration were valued, where teachers felt supported.
And where the focus always remained on what was best for the students.
You got it. Recognizing that we're all in this together. And when we work together, share our knowledge and experiences, we can create something really special for our students.
And for ourselves.
Of course.
You know, hearing you describe that school culture, it's truly inspiring. But I imagine some teachers might be thinking, okay, all this sounds great in theory, but where do I actually start with action research? Like, how do you take that first step?
Yeah, I get it. It's easy to feel overwhelmed, like you're adding one more thing to your already giant to-do list.
Right. Like, we don't have enough to do already.
Exactly. But here's a little secret. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Oh. Tell me more.
You can actually start by looking back at your own teaching experiences.
Looking back? You mean like reminiscing about the good old days?
Not exactly. Think about a time when you had a real success in your classroom. Maybe your students really grasped a challenging concept. Or you tried a new strategy that totally transformed their engagement.
Oh, yeah. We've all had those moments, those little teaching triumphs, the ones that make you feel like you're actually making a difference.
Exactly. And those moments, those are gold mines for action research. Instead of just basking in the afterglow, take a closer look. Ask yourself, what were the key ingredients here?
What made it work so well?
Exactly. What specific choices did you make? What were your students doing differently? That's where the data starts to emerge.
So it's like revisiting those past successes with a more critical eye, looking for the patterns, the clues that can inform our future teaching.
I like that. A critical eye. Those past experiences, they hold valuable insights that can be the seeds for your next action research project.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's not just about looking back either. Collaboration can be huge when it comes to action research.
Oh, absolutely. Two heads are definitely better than one.
Or even a whole team of heads, right?
Yeah.
What are some ways teachers can really tap into the power of collaboration in their action research?
Well, you could partner up with a colleague who teaches the same grade level or subject. Imagine bouncing ideas off each other, observing each other's classrooms, giving each other feedback on your findings.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's like having a built-in support system.
Yeah.
Someone who really gets the joys and challenges of the process.
Someone to keep you accountable too. And, you know, don't underestimate the power of cross-disciplinary collaborations either. Think about a team of teachers from different subjects all working together to explore maybe a school-wide issue.
Like student engagement.
Exactly. Or social-emotional learning. Bringing all those different perspectives to the table, that can spark some really creative solutions.
I love that idea. Okay, so we've talked about starting with past successes. But what about those areas where we know we need to improve, but we're not even sure where to begin? You know, like, how do you identify those hidden problems, the ones that might be lurking beneath the surface?
That's a great question. It's tempting to just focus on the obvious issues.
The ones that are staring you right in the face.
Exactly. But sometimes the most impactful changes come from addressing those subtler underlying challenges, the ones we might not even be fully aware of.
So how do we do that?
Well, one really powerful strategy is to regularly solicit feedback from our students.
Our students, they have so much wisdom to share. If we actually take the time to listen, how do we create a space where they feel safe giving us honest feedback?
It doesn't have to be complicated. Simple things like exit tickets at the end of class.
Oh, yeah. Suggestion box.
That's a great idea. Or even just quick check-ins where you ask, what's one thing I could do differently to help you learn better?
You know, I've also found that observing my own classroom with a critical eye can be incredibly revealing.
Oh, I totally agree. It's so easy to get caught up in the flow of teaching.
Right, you're in the zone.
And miss those subtle cues, the ones that might be signaling a need for change.
Exactly. You know, one thing I've heard people suggest is videotaping yourself teaching a lesson. And then watch it back later, paying attention to student engagement and your own teaching practices.
That can be so powerful. I know it can be a little uncomfortable to watch yourself teach.
Well, tell me about it. It's cringeworthy sometimes.
Yeah.
But it can be so insightful, too.
It's a chance to see yourself through your students' eyes. Notice those unconscious habits or patterns that might be hindering their learning.
Like maybe you pace around the room too much. Or you unintentionally favor one side of the classroom over the other.
Those are great examples. Or you realize you keep calling on the same few students over and over again.
Yeah, we all have those blind spots. And once you're aware of them, you can start making intentional changes.
Create a more positive and equitable learning environment for all your students.
Okay, so let's say we've identified a problem we want to address. We've got our detective hats on, we've gathered some clues, and now we're ready to develop our plan of action. This is where the research part of action research really kicks in.
You got it. We want to make sure our actions are informed by the best evidence and best practices, not just random guesses or the latest fad.
Right. We're not just blindly throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Exactly. So before we jump into implementation, we need to do our homework. We need to become savvy consumers of educational research.
Become research experts.
Well, maybe not experts,
right,
but informed. And luckily for us, high-quality research is more accessible than ever before.
That's true. We've got books, articles, podcasts, webinars. It's like a whole world of knowledge is at our fingertips.
And a lot of these resources are free or super affordable. It's amazing.
It is. But it's not just about consuming research either, right? It's about being critical.
Oh, absolutely. Just because a study's been published, it doesn't mean those findings are universally applicable.
It's like trying on a new outfit. What looks fabulous on someone else might not be the right fit for you.
That's a great analogy. We have to ask ourselves some tough questions. Who conducted the research? Was the sample size big enough? Are these findings relevant to my students? To my teaching context.
That's such a crucial point.
Yeah.
Context is everything in education. What works in one classroom might not work in another.
Exactly. And what's effective for one group of students might not be for another. So we have to be really thoughtful.
Pick and choose.
Yes. Choose the strategies that resonate with your own teaching style and your students' needs.
So we're using research as a starting point, a springboard. But we're adapting and modifying it to create something that really works for us and our students.
We're becoming creators of knowledge, not just consumers.
I love that. But, you know, I have to admit, there's still a part of me that feels a little intimidated by all of this.
I get it. It's a lot to take in.
It is. What if the strategy I choose doesn't work? What if my experiment totally backfires?
That fear of failure, that's so common. And it's totally understandable.
No teacher wants to feel like they're experimenting on their students.
Right. But the truth is, action research isn't about seeking perfection. It's about embracing the learning process.
It's about accepting that mistakes are part of the process.
And learning from them. Shifting your mindset from, what if I fail, to, what can I learn from this? Every action research project, no matter the outcome, it's an opportunity to grow.
So instead of seeing a failed experiment as a failure, we can see it as valuable data.
A chance to reflect on what worked, what didn't, and why.
I like that. You know, it's funny. We're always encouraging our students to embrace mistakes, to see them as learning opportunities. But sometimes we forget to do that ourselves.
Right. We got to practice what we preach. It's a good reminder that we're all lifelong learners. And that includes us teachers. Okay, so we've talked about the fear of failure. But there's another very real concern that might be holding teachers back. Time.
Oh, yeah, time. That's the big one. Teachers are already so busy. I mean, we're constantly juggling a million different responsibilities.
Yeah.
How can we possibly squeeze one more thing into our schedules?
I hear you. I don't want to minimize those time constraints, but I also believe that action research doesn't have to be this massive time-consuming project. It can be something you integrate into your existing practices in small, manageable ways.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Give me some examples. How do we make action research more manageable?
Start small. You don't have to do a huge year-long research project right out of the gate.
Take baby steps.
Yes. Begin with a smaller, more focused question, something you can realistically complete in a shorter time frame. Choose one specific area of your teaching that you're curious about or that you think could benefit from some tweaking.
So instead of trying to boil the ocean, start with a cup of tea.
I love that. And remember, collaboration can actually be a time saver too.
Oh, right. Because you're sharing the workload.
Exactly. You can brainstorm together, support each other, hold each other accountable.
So it's about working smarter, not harder. Leveraging those connections and resources to make action research more sustainable.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the power of technology.
Oh, yeah. Like all those online survey tools. The data analysis software.
And all those amazing platforms for collaboration.
It's like having a whole team of research assistants at your fingertips.
In a way, all those tools, they can make action research way more efficient for us busy teachers.
So even though time is always going to be a factor.
It always is.
It doesn't have to be an insurmountable barrier to engaging in action research.
Exactly. And the great thing is, even small changes, those little adjustments you make based on your findings, they can make a big difference in your classroom.
It's like a ripple effect.
Yes. It's those small, incremental improvements, the ones driven by your curiosity, by your desire to do what's best for your students, those are the ones that create the most lasting change.
So we're not trying to become research experts overnight.
No, not at all.
It's about embracing a spirit of inquiry, being willing to experiment and learn,
mm-hmm.
and always striving to be the best teacher we can be.
That's what it's all about, becoming more reflective practitioners, constantly seeking ways to grow and evolve. And you know what?
What's that?
It's also about recognizing that we have a powerful voice.
We do.
Our classroom experiences, they matter.
They really do.
And when we engage in option research, we're contributing to a larger movement of educators who are committed to creating a more just, equitable, and joyful learning experience for all students.
You know, as we've been talking about action research, I've noticed that the word data keeps coming up.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's important to be clear about what we actually mean by data. It's not just about numbers and spreadsheets, is it?
No, not at all. In traditional research, yeah, data usually refers to quantitative information, you know, things that can be measured and counted.
Right, like test scores.
Exactly. But action research, it takes a much broader view. It recognizes that qualitative data is super valuable, too.
Qualitative data.
Yeah, you know those rich, nuanced insights you gather through observations, conversations, looking at student work?
Oh, I see what you mean. It's about going beyond the numbers to really understand the stories behind those numbers.
Exactly. Quantitative data can tell us what's happening, but qualitative data helps us understand why it's happening. And that's crucial if you want to make meaningful changes.
So, for example, let's say I'm looking at my students' test scores, and I see a pattern of them struggling with fractions. The numbers themselves might not tell me the whole story.
Right. To get to the heart of the matter, you have to dig deeper. Observe those students during math class, look closely at their work, maybe even have conversations with them to figure out where their misconceptions are coming from.
So it's about putting on your detective hat, looking for clues, and trying to piece together the puzzle of why those students are struggling.
Exactly. And those clues, they can come from all sorts of places. A comment a student makes offhand.
Oh yeah, a pattern you notice in their artwork.
Right. Or maybe you see a change in their engagement during a particular activity. All of those things can be valuable data points in action research.
So it's about paying attention, being present, and really tuning in to those little whispers of insight that our students are constantly giving us.
And recognizing that our students, they're not just subjects in our research, they're our partners.
Partners.
Yeah, they have so much to teach us. And when we create space for their voices, that's when action research becomes really powerful.
I love that. Shifting our perspective from seeing students as subjects to seeing them as partners, it just feels more respectful, more collaborative.
Absolutely. But you know, as we're gathering all this data, we also have to keep in mind the ethical implications.
We can't just go around collecting data willy-nilly.
Exactly. We have a responsibility to protect our students' privacy and make sure we're using our findings responsibly.
So before we even start collecting data, we need to ask ourselves some tough questions. Like, what data do we really need? How can we collect it in a way that's respectful and doesn't feel intrusive?
Those are good ones. And how will we ensure that our findings are actually used to support students, not label them or, God forbid, harm them in any way?
Absolutely. These are questions that every teacher engaging in action research needs to wrestle with.
For sure. We also need to be transparent with our students about the whole process. Tell them why we're collecting data, how we're going to use it, who's going to see it.
And get their informed consent, right? Especially if you're working with older students or if your research touches on sensitive topics.
Absolutely. Students have a right to know what they're agreeing to, and they should always feel empowered to opt out if they're not comfortable.
It all comes back to building that trust and respect. We want our students to feel safe sharing their thoughts and experiences, knowing that their voices matter and that we're going to protect their privacy. It's about doing research with our students, not on them.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Ethical considerations, they're not just an afterthought. They're woven into every aspect of action research.
They should guide our decisions every step of the way.
Okay, well, I think we've explored just about every nook and cranny of action research. We've talked about the steps involved, the challenges, the benefits, the ethical considerations. It's been quite a journey.
It has.
And I really hope our listeners are feeling inspired to embark on our own action research adventures. What final words of wisdom do you have for them? Just remember, you don't have to be a research expert or have tons of extra time to do this work. Start small. Pick a question that really excites you. Gather data that feels meaningful and relevant to your own teaching context.
And don't be afraid to embrace the messiness of the process.
Yes, it's all about experimenting, reflecting, learning, and growing.
And you're not alone on this journey.
Not at all. Reach out to your colleagues, connect with other teachers who are passionate about this work, and celebrate those little victories. Every step you take is bringing you closer to becoming the best teacher you can be.
So tap into that inner researcher that we all have, that desire to understand and improve. See your classroom as the living laboratory, a place where you can explore, experiment, and make a real difference. It's been an inspiring conversation, and I hope our listeners are leaving today feeling empowered to embrace the transformative power of action research.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.